Welcome, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Calls Media Roundtable. Later in the program today, we're going to discuss the mass starvation in Gaza and continued Israeli attacks, which have resulted in high civilian casualties. According to the UN, Gaza's entire population of 2.1 million people is experiencing prolonged food shortages. Nearly 500,000 people are facing a catastrophic situation of hunger, acute malnutrition, illness, and death. So what can be done to stop this humanitarian crisis in Gaza? We'll talk about that later in the program. But first, we're going to look at Trump and the GOP's push to change the electoral maps and hold on to their razor-thin majority in next year's midterm elections in for the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, in a recent piece in Salon, our guest today, Dave Daly, notes that it's entirely possible that the GOP will claim anywhere between an additional 2 to 5 congressional districts for themselves, potentially ending any realistic Democratic dreams of reclaiming the House of Representatives some 15 months before a vote is cast. So what can be done to stop this power grab by the GOP and to protect the Voting Rights Act? Well, we're very pleased to be joined by David Daly, author of the new book, Anti-Democratic, Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. He's also the author of the national bestseller, Rat Effed, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. He's also the former editor-in-chief of Salon. Dave, very good to have you back on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Ethan.
So why did Trump start with Texas to push his gerrymandering project? There are many reports that Republicans are trying to redraw as many as 5 currently Democratic districts in that state, all to help flip the GOP's chances in this upcoming midterm election. So why Texas?
Well, they used to ask Willie Sutton why he robs banks, right? And he said, that's where the money is. And if you want to gerrymander and steal seats in the House of Representatives, Texas is where the possibilities are. Both Democrats and Republicans really maximized their gerrymander opportunities back in 2021 at the beginning of this cycle. Democrats in places like Illinois and Maryland and Oregon and New Mexico, and Republicans built off of the gerrymanders from the previous decade, added seats in Florida, Tennessee, Utah, Oklahoma, and Texas went the other way. Texas had a pretty solid Republican gerrymander in place. It's a 25 Republican, 13 Democrats map. But instead of maximizing for as many gains as they possibly could, they essentially drew an incumbent protection map. But the possibility was always there. If things got close along the rest of the decade, that Texas could be the Republicans' break glass in case of emergency. And the midterms aren't looking good for Republicans nationwide. So they've pulled out the hammer, and here comes the glass.
So what do you think is the prospect of them being successful in Texas to be able to squeeze out a few more seats for the Republicans? And what exactly is their plan in that state?
Yeah, it's a good question. My sense is that they can get anywhere between 2 and 5 seats out of Texas. On the low end of that, you could get 2 or 3 really easily. There are 2 Democratic districts in South Texas, the 28th and the 34th, both of which were won by less than 5% by Democratic candidates in the 24 election. You could shift a handful of lines down there, attach those districts onto pieces of more central Texas that are redder and more conservative, and you could probably wipe those districts off the map. If Republicans decide to go on the higher end, it starts to get a little trickier, because whenever you gerrymander, you have to be really careful about not getting too greedy, because if you spread your voters too thin and go for too many seats, you might, in the wrong wave election, have that backfire on you. Texas Republicans are relatively safe from that there. They have a lot of surplus votes. Of those 25 Republican districts, only one of them in 2024 elected a winner with a number in the 50s, and that was 57%. All of the others were above 60, and 13 of those seats were above 65% or did not have a Democratic challenger at all. So if Republicans want to move some of their surplus votes around and try to crack some Democratic cities and add additional seats, they are relatively in a good position to do so, unfortunately.
Well, and you've written about how spreading yourself too thin, kind of over gerrymandering, is actually dummy mandering, as you've described it in some of your writing on this subject. I mean, this is a bit of a delicate dance. You say right now that they're pretty safe in moving votes around, but there is the possibility that this could really backfire on them if there is sort of a wave election next year against Republicans. Is that right in your view?
If they go for too many seats and it's a big year for Democrats, you could see that this might not be as effective as Republicans want it to be. Now, I think in Texas, if they play it safe, if they go for two or three seats, there is very limited risk of this backfiring on Republicans. If they get super greedy and start looking at five or more, then in the wrong wave year, they could be in a little bit of trouble. Now, you have not had a wave election like that in Texas in some time. Donald Trump won the state by 14 percentage points back in 2024. The Democratic-Republican split of the state congressional vote has been relatively in the same ballpark the last two elections. In 2022, it was 58%, 38 on behalf of Republicans. It went to 58-40 in 2024. So that's an 18% gap. You'd have to have a pretty big wave across rural Texas to have that backfire on you. Not impossible, but in some ways, the fact that Democrats are talking so openly about the possibilities of these maps backfiring, I think it says more about how limited their options are to try to stop this other than trying to scare them into not doing it.
Yeah, maybe kind of a retreat to selling some hopium, as it's called, false optimism. We're speaking with David Daley, author of the new book, Anti-Democratic: Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. And we're talking about the Republican plan to redistrict states like Texas in order to keep control of the House of Representatives in next year's midterm election. And Dave, I wanted to ask you about the mechanics of how they might pull this off. In Texas, you've talked about some of the districts they're going for, but in terms of actually getting this through the legislature, I gather that Governor Abbott in Texas has called a special session, but Democratic state lawmakers are threatening to stay away from the Capitol to deny the legislature the minimum number they need to convene. What's the latest on that? What are you hearing about the state Democratic Party in Texas's attempt to try to thwart this plan?
They're gearing up. They're certainly working very hard. I think that they have limited numbers to try to stop this. The Attorney General there, Attorney General Paxton, has threatened to arrest any of those Democrats that leave the state. You could certainly slow this down, perhaps a little bit, but we are 15, 16 months out of the elections. So I do think that they will probably have time to pull this off if they decide to go this route. They seem very eager to do so. The Republicans have only a 3-seat advantage in the U.S. House, and they're looking to pad onto this anywhere they can. They'll probably grab a handful of votes in Texas. You could take a couple of districts in Ohio later this year, and suddenly you go from a 3-seat Republican majority to Democrats having to win closer to 10 seats in the House on a map that just doesn't have a lot of appealing competitive targets. It's a very tough road already, tougher than people think, and it could get much more perilous.
And David, who are the players in the Trump administration behind this project? And as you mentioned, this could be spreading to other states now. Ohio potentially is another target. Veteran journalist Mary Lou Johannick reported in the Ohio Capital Journal that GOP plan is starting to move forward with a similar gimmick to get more House seats. So who's behind this in the administration, and how are they pushing this forward?
This has been a top priority of Republicans really for the last 15 years. Back in 2008, when Barack Obama won and Democrats held the trifecta in Washington, Republicans feared that they would be a minority party for a generation to come. And there were some really sophisticated strategists in the Republican Party based around something called the Republican State Leadership Committee that recognized that as historic an election as 2008 was, 2010 could be much more consequential because it was a redistricting year. And what we do after redistricting, it was a census year. And what we do after the census is a redistrict every state legislative and congressional line. And so they really set out in the 2010 elections to try to win control over the redistricting process in absolutely every state that they could. It was a strategy called Red Map, which is short for the Redistricting Majority Project. And indeed, it really did turn all of these states' maps very red in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Michigan, Indiana, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina. This was a very effective plan, but it only required flipping about 115 state legislative seats in the 2010 elections. And once they were able to do that, they had free rein to go ahead and remap all of those states. They've locked in huge gains, some of which have not been erased ever since. Certainly what's happened in the U.S. Supreme Court, John Roberts has really allowed and blessed and incentivized this kind of gerrymandering in a handful of decisions that the Supreme Court has handed down, really blocking the federal court's ability to do anything about this. And so the combination of Republican strategists and the big boost that they've gotten from Roberts in the court has created a real crisis of democracy.
Well, and there's also big technological changes that they're utilizing. I know they have more sophisticated mapping software, precise voter data, and of course, not just Republicans, but Democrats are using these tools. Is AI involved? And you know, what exactly is the latest on the state of the technology that they're using to push through these partisan gerrymanders?
Oh, it just gets better and better and better, Ethan. Whenever you look at a process that you only do every 10 years, the leaps and bounds that technologically advanced these gerrymanders have become, from the mapping software that they use to the precision and the specificity of the voter data that's available on all of us, whether from, you know, public records or census data, or all of the private data sets that these people can buy, picking up on the kinds of things that we all scatter about the internet about ourselves every single day. All of this can be uploaded into these mapping programs. And so whenever you see really specific zigs and zags, a lot of times people try to imagine what kind of, you know, a Rorschach test for what these districts look like. But they look silly, but they have great intentionality and specificity behind why that map makes every single turn that it does. And it's allowed map makers to really cherry pick districts that sometimes even look close on paper, but will always deliver a specific partisan result.
We're speaking with David Daley, author of the new book, Anti-Democratic: Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. Also the author of the national bestseller, Rat Effed. Not allowed to say the actual title here on public radio, but the subtitle is Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. David is also the former editor-in-chief of Salon. This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm your host, Ethan Elkind, and we want to open up the phone lines and our email channels as well. If you have questions for David about the redistricting process, if you have concerns and you have thoughts about what the Democrats should do in response to this Republican efforts to redistrict states like Texas and potentially Ohio, the number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. You can also email us with any questions or comments that you might have at yourcall@kalw.com. www.mediaroundtable.org. Well, David, I think you dropped just a little bit there at the end. So hopefully we've got your audio sorted out. But I wanted to pick up on a thread here about what Democrats might do in response. We talked briefly about what Texas state Democrats might do to walk out. But we also have a report from the New York Times that many of the Democrats in the Texas House have traveled today to meet with the Democratic governors of California and also with Illinois, suggesting that they might be able to redraw political maps on those more heavily Democratic states to counter what's happening in Texas. Governor Gavin Newsom here in California has also already vowed to retaliate by redistricting his own state's 52 seats that could, in order to pick up more Democratic representation. So what exactly is happening now in response by Democrats in these blue states?
Democrats are certainly looking really seriously at all of these blue states to see where they might be able to pick up seats of their own. The trouble for Democrats is that most of these states, they maximized these gains back in 2021. Illinois has already drawn a really solid Democratic gerrymander. That is a 14 Democrat, 3 Republican delegation. You could attempt to make it a 15-2 or a 16-1. But that might invoke the kind of dummy mander that we were just talking about. You get too greedy, you cut it too thin. 14-3 might be about as good as you can get for the Democrats in the state of Illinois. Likewise, in New Jersey, New Jersey uses a commission. The governor has talked about trying to go around the commission and passing a legislation that would allow a mid-decade redistricting by the legislature. But it's already a 9 Democrat, 3 Republican state. Could you try to push that to 10-2? I guess you could try, but New Jersey is one of those states, along with New York and Connecticut and Virginia, you know, states that made big gains by Republicans in 2024. So you might be cutting it too thin if you're trying to take a 10-2 gain in New Jersey. Likewise, Maryland is a possibility, but Democrats already have a 7-1 map there. Democrats have looked at draft maps for 15 years now that would try to get them to an 8-0, and they've never felt comfortable with it. So we will see if this is the moment that they go for it. But the fact that they haven't yet suggests that they're concerned that 7-1 might be as good as it can get. And so in that way, all eyes turn to California and Governor Newsom. California is really the one state where Democrats could perhaps figure out a way to gain a few seats through a mid-decade redistricting. The difficulty for Democrats is that the state took the power to redistrict away from lawmakers back in 2008 and 2010, and they handed it to an independent commission, an independent commission that, by the way, is the gold standard for how you do this around the country in the most nonpartisan and fair way. So Democrats would either have to find a way to get a ballot question out in a special election that asked voters to overturn the commission and to allow politicians to get their hands on these maps again, or they would have to pass some kind of legislation or make the decision that the language in the Constitution establishing the commission is vague enough that it would allow the legislature to step in and do a mid-decade redistricting. That seems like the more dubious legal route. It would probably end up in litigation for some time. If Democrats try to do anything in California, it's probably that first step, trying to overturn the commission and putting it to voters in a special ballot question.
So complicated path for Democrats here to try to gerrymander in response to the Republican attempt. We do have a caller, Andy, dialing in from Redwood City. So Andy, welcome to Your Calls Media Roundtable.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Dayan and Ethan Elkind. I just want to say gerrymandering, it's wrong. No matter which party does it, it's wrong. We have a great system here, which is independent. which takes the politicians out. And I'll tell you, the politicians, the Democrats in California, aren't worth a friggin' dime. They've done nothing for working class people, and we don't need them being corrupt gerrymandering, because it's wrong.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I appreciate the sentiment. I think a lot of people feel that way. That's why that original ballot measure passed in California to begin with. David, you must hear that all the time, that you know it's not good when either side does it, and Democrats shouldn't be playing that same game. What's your thoughts and response?
No, I 100% agree. Gerrymandering is wrong when Democrats do it. It's wrong when Republicans do it. Voters hate it everywhere. They hate it in red states and purple states and blue states. And yet the trouble here is that ever since the U.S. Supreme Court closed the door to federal courts stepping in and having a solution here, a national standard, it is really, really hard to fix the gerrymandering problem state by state. Because anytime you have one state as a bad actor that tries to take advantage of the system there, it's going to incentivize other states to try to make up for it. And so we're trapped in this sort of race to the bottom in which anytime a state controlled by someone of either party tries to fix this, it looks like they're doing a form of universal disarmament. And so if what we need is a national standard, and until we have a true national standard on this, we are going to be stuck in this doom loop, unfortunately.
And in the absence of the Supreme Court doing anything, could Congress step in if we ever had a national consensus around standards for redistricting?
Yes. I mean, I think that there's lots that could be done, and Democrats certainly made some efforts back in 2021 when they had a trifecta in the voting rights legislation that they were working on that really stalled because of the filibuster or something else that's anti-democratic, right? There is a new proposal that's just been introduced this week by Don Beyer and Jamie Raskin that is called the Fair Representation Act that would create a much more proportional House, larger multi-member districts, do away with the single-member districts in which mapmakers simply by drawing lines have the power to draw winners and losers and entrench them in office. That system would also put a ban on mid-decade redistricting. It would make every district a swing district. So there are certainly things that we can do, from commissions to more proportional systems. But it's going to require the very politicians who've been elected through gerrymandering to put it into office. Yeah. So that is going to require all of us really making clear that we think this is wrong and something has to be done to fix it.
So we got an email in. We just have a couple minutes left here. I want to get to this email. Art from San Francisco writes in. In San Francisco, our Board of Supervisor district lines were redrawn recently. Does your guest know if AI was used to redraw those maps here in San Francisco? And if not, how could we find out? So, David, I don't know if you're familiar with San Francisco specifically, but for people who do want to find out how their district lines were drawn, is there a resource they can consult?
Yes, usually this is a pretty public process, and I'm sorry, I don't know whether or not AI was used there. I mean, certainly these computer programs are very, very powerful, and AI is only going to make them more powerful in the years to come. So I think that's a real fear and a very legitimate concern. But this is usually a public process. There are usually public hearings. When states redistrict, there are usually opportunities to, especially in California, to come and testify and say, this is my community and this is how it ought to be held together. And this is the kind of map I'd like to see. So it's a public process. It's an important process. And these districts are the building blocks of our democracy. And, you know, it's a topic that sounds boring sometimes. Yeah. So I certainly appreciate you all giving so much attention to it.
Absolutely. Well, just last question for you, David, because I appreciate you raising this issue. And it is frustrating that political parties spend so much time on gerrymandering and not on persuasion. And that's the other opportunity they would have, which is actually to win votes legitimately rather than try to redistrict. But what do you make of the media coverage, just briefly as we're out of time here, what do you make of the media coverage of this redistricting, given that it's our media roundtable today?
No, you know, I think that it's gotten better. I've been writing about redistricting now for 10 years. And over the course of that time, I have been joined by more colleagues on this beat, which is a good thing. But I still think that there's far too much horse race journalism. There's far too much coverage of can Democrats take the House? Will Republicans hold the House? And it pretends in many ways that these maps have not been fixed and rigged in advance in order to dictate outcomes. And every single article that talks about which side will win the House ought to talk about how many districts have been drawn for one side or another to win automatically for a decade. We are down to about 37 of 435 U.S. House seats that are actually competitive. And that is no way to run a democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Thank you so much for joining us, David Daley, author of the new book, Anti-Democratic, Inside the Far Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections. Thanks for covering this issue and raising awareness about it here on Your Calls Media Roundtable. Hope to have you back on soon. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And coming up next, we're going to talk about the ongoing and worsening humanitarian situation in Gaza. So stay with us just after this short break.